Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And just so everybody's aware, the NFL schedule release occurred after the taping of this show. So we will get to the Packers 2017 schedule and more about the NFL draft and everything in future shows. But this show in particular, we're going to talk about the big news of this week, which is that the players are back, Wes. They're back in the building. The off-season workout program has begun. It started on Tuesday of this week. And we heard, I guess for starters, some very interesting and good health news on the part of quarterback Aaron Rodgers and wide receiver Jordy Nelson. Rodgers talking about the fact that he got himself under 220 pounds, which was a goal that he wanted to start the offseason program. He feels he's in the best shape at the start of a new year that he's ever been in.
Yeah, and I remember if you go back to the owners' meetings, a little bit of the combine, Mike McCarthy talked about this too, just the approach that Aaron Rodgers has taken, specifically with his diet, you know, going back to last year, trying to cut out some of the lactose, you know, being able to just do some things that could potentially really extend his career. I know we've heard a lot over the recent years about Tom Brady and the things that he's been doing. Well, Rodgers has tried to incorporate that himself, and really, you can't really argue with the results. I mean, he's playing at still a premium level at 33 years old, and it just so turns out, also has a guy in Jordy Nelson who also has been able to sort of defy time a little bit. So those guys continue to really be able to do their thing this offseason and now trying to get ready for another run in 2017.
Yeah, I thought Nelson's comments were interesting in that he sounded almost relieved that he's gotten past this stage of all the rehab and everything that goes into the knee injury from the 2015 preseason, because it's easy to forget, you know, when Jordy Nelson returned to the field in 2016, the rehab and dealing with that injury isn't just over. You're
right.
Still spending hours every day in the training room to be able to get through a 16-game schedule plus the playoffs. There's a lot of work that goes into that. Finally, this offseason, he was able to back off on that rehab and recovery a little bit and get into more of just a normal recovery mode for a new year, and he sounded pretty happy about it.
Yeah, and I think you have to feel good for Nelson, exactly where he's at, coming off of the finish that he had to that season, also with the rib injury that he sustained. Obviously, that's cleared up by now, and really just trying to focus on his training and continue to do what he's doing now into his early 30s. So what really stands out to me about Nelson, you really can't ever discount diminish, is that how important that offseason program is. And he was able to do most things throughout the offseason program, was able to do many of the things he wanted to, but once he got to training camp, still really wasn't able to get those on-practice reps right away. So for him to be able to have a full offseason now where he can do what he wants to do what he feels like he needs to do to prepare for an upcoming season, I think is really huge. And also working off of Aaron Rodgers, being able to get that chemistry down again. They kind of had to wait. They sort of did their little own individual things midway through training camp, but it really wasn't until they got to Jacksonville that those two got on the field together. So I think a very important time for him, and being able to see what he did as the comeback player of the year in 2016 without an off-season program, really, I think, makes you excited for what he could potentially do with the full offseason in 2017.
Definitely. And Rodgers jokingly, saying his dedication in the offseason to his diet and his conditioning is cutting into his golf game. I think he's, you know, setting things up. He may not play as well in that Lake Tahoe tournament later this summer because he hasn't gotten all the practice. But also with Nelson, too, it was interesting to hear him revisit just a little bit the end of the 2016 season, playing in the NFC Championship game with the broken ribs, and in typical Jordy fashion, really kind of downplayed what he did and what he gutted through in order to get out there, caught a touchdown pass and everything in that game against the Falcons. But you know that went a long way in the locker room. Not that Jordy needed to do that for his own status in the locker room, but things like that go a long way when young players see the veteran guys really put themselves on the line like that.
Yeah, absolutely, especially in a draft-to-develop kind of team where so much is predicated on seeing how your veterans lead and exactly, you know, what they do on the field. But it really does go back to the end of the season and what Nelson said about his decisions for playing in that game and why it was such a big deal to him. I mean, he did. It was a year. He was off the field. When you rehab that long and you train for that long, you have an opportunity to be back in a playoff game, be back in a game that could propel you to the Super Bowl. Jordy Nelson wanted to be out there, and it really speaks to him, it speaks to his character, it speaks to the kind of player that he's been for so many years for the Green Bay Packers. And you heard Aaron Rodgers speak about it too at the end of the season, just how that really defined him as a football player. And now going into next season, I mean, obviously a lot of things have to line up, but based on what he was able to do on the field, I think the future is still very bright for him.
Yeah, well, a lot of excitement, a lot of optimism in the words of the players. And we heard from some guys on the defensive side of the ball as well, and we'll get to that back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, continuing on our theme of the health of the players, we heard from Clay Matthews with the return of the team for the off-season workouts. And good news on his side, he said his shoulder, not only did he not need surgery on it in the off-season, it was a matter of resting it, doing a lot of work to strengthen the muscles and everything around where the issue was. But he also said right now he feels his shoulder is as close to 100% as he could have asked for just a few months after the end of the regular season. And that sounds pretty good for the Packers defense.
Yeah, no question, Mike. I mean, that is the biggest thing for them right now is the health of Clay Matthews and being sure that they can have him on the field and really competing in the ways that he can compete. Mike McCarthy's talked all throughout the offseason program about how Clay Matthews is at his best, this defense is at its best, when he's able to move around. And that's just something they weren't able to do after he suffered that shoulder injury against Philadelphia. From his perspective, I think that this is big because it probably removes some of the doubt, some of the questions. I know that sometimes you can think about the nerve damage and things like that that could potentially inhibit you. It sounds like Matthews is in a good place right now. And from his perspective, with what he was able to do in a limited role last year, I think was still quite remarkable. But at the end of the day, it comes down to availability. It comes down to being on the field, and that's what he's really looking to do this upcoming season.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting what he said. I actually asked him about how he's feeling, just to his health situation right now as the off-season program gets going. And what he equated it to, in a sense, is he feels very eager to bounce back. He only had 5 sacks last year, plus 1 in the playoffs, really the lowest total of his career. Really is eager to build that bounce back season, and he feels very much like he did 3 years ago when in the 2013 season he broke his thumb twice. That needed surgery in the off season. He had to come back from that, and he did end up having a pretty big year in 2014. So Clay Matthews knows that he didn't perform the way he wanted to. He didn't perform the way the fans are certainly accustomed to seeing him perform, and he flat out admitted it was a rough year injury wise. He missed 4 games early in the year with hamstring troubles and then the whole shoulder thing. To his credit, he played through it all, but he wasn't the same guy, and he wants to get back to being that guy.
Absolutely, Mike. And you know, it's funny, we're going to talk about AJ Hawk later on in the show, but he obviously announced his retirement with the Packers this week, had a chance to be on his conference call, and he was talking a little bit about Clay Matthews and just watching the player that he became. Because, you know, Hawk for 9 years was the inside backer in this defense. Then you saw Matthews jump into that role really midstream back in 2014. And he played that role for the most part in 2015. Just the level of difficulty to be able to do that and to do it so seamless, I think really speaks to his talent and his ability. And realistically, Dom Capers, he wants to be unpredictable with this defense. He wants to be able to throw different looks at teams. And with Matthews, after he had the shoulder, he really was mostly just a third down outside linebacker type player. I mean, how they want to use him on that nickel down, I think, is really the money situation. And being able to really be able to take advantage of those mismatches, that's going to be key. That's going to be huge. And I think from the Packers' perspective, going into this year, if Matthews can be on the field and can be able to be used in such a way, it makes everybody on that defense better.
I would agree with that. And Matthews said it wouldn't surprise him at all if he lines up anywhere and everywhere in this defense. I think in that respect, we're talking mostly passing downs, mostly third down situations. When the Packers are in sort of your standard, your base set, whether you want to call that the 3-4 base or the 4-2 nickel, however you want to term it, he's seeing what Matthews is envisioning, I think, is what the Packers essentially envisioned 5 years ago when Nick Perry was drafted in the first round, that Clay Matthews and Nick Perry are your bookends at outside linebacker. They're guys who can set the edge against the run. They're also guys who can get after the quarterback. And Matthews kind of, joked a little bit in saying, hey, over these years, it's been, Nick has had some injury problems when I've had a good year. He had a good year last year when Clay was dealing with injury issues. If the Packers are looking for any luck in the injury department, it might be keeping those two guys healthy for an entire season to see what really what the vision can become.
Yeah, one of the big things for this offseason could be rounding out that rotation, finding more guys to intertwine with those, you know, with Perry and Matthews. But at the end of the day, those are your two guys. Those are the guys, those are the premier players in this defense. And we've seen, especially with the games that Perry had early last season, how impactful he can be with his style of rushing. And then you add in Matthews and his ability to get around the edge. I liken it to this. I mean, you and I are a team here at Packers.com. We're trying to work off each other. Joe Rutter, our IT guy, he's tremendous. I mean, he's the guy that's working on my computer so I can keep writing. I mean, you need to have more than one person to succeed.
Yeah.
As great as it is to have a 20-sack player or a 7-interception cornerback, where are the other? What are the other 10 guys doing on that defense? I think that's the one thing we learned last year is when you can have multiple playmakers on the field at the same time, it makes such a difference. And for Matthews and Perry, there's a lot of things that you have to avoid throughout the course of a season to stay out there. But they really know and they feel and they're confident in what they can do if they can stay on the field.
Yeah, and I'm also curious to see just what happens in the draft when you're talking about a draft that supposedly, according to all the analysts, is pretty deep with pass rushers, with the outside linebacker types that are like the Nick Perrys and the Clay Matthews. Can the Packers add one or two of those guys to the stable, and we'll see what happens. But right now, Wes, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz over there. And Wes, continuing our discussion of the start of the offseason program, the players who met with the media on Tuesday, the offensive players were asked kind of the what's been a lingering question ever since TJ Lang's free agent departure to Detroit. What exactly is going to happen at right guard here? Who will be filling in? Who will be taking over? Aaron Rodgers kind of laid it out that, at least for now, it's a competition between Don Barkley, Kyle Murphy, a sixth-round draft pick who was a tackle at Stanford, is being moved inside to take a shot at guard, and then Lucas Patrick, a holdover from the practice squad last year. Those three guys are competing for the job, and then now we'll see what happens in the draft if another player is added to that mix. But we also heard from David Bakhtiari, and David, he kind of can have fun with the media once in a while. But in this case, he was being very genuine, I think, and when he said, hey, we've got such a strong core on the offensive line that whatever happens at right guard, we're not worried about it. And I think he's being truthful. It's not that right guard's not an important position. Obviously, they're going to miss TJ Lang, but nobody's panicking over the fact that there's this wide open spot here in the middle of April.
Right. And Bakhtiari was very businesslike on Tuesday. I really liked his mentality and his approach, and basically everything he said I thought was right on point. He didn't talk for a long time. It was only like a 4-minute news conference, but I mean, he's still. Everything he said, I thought, really, really drove a lot of points home. The first thing is TJ Lang deserves everything he had coming to him, and it was a tremendous teammate, and he learned a lot from him.
No question.
But if recent history tells you anything, the Packers have had young guys come in and fill voids quickly. They did it with Lane Taylor last year. Corey Linsley did it in a pinch in 2014. David Bakhtiari did it in 2013 when Brian Bulaga injured his knee. So this isn't a new situation for them. Yeah, there's some unproven depth inside, but I think they have a lot of confidence there that they're going to be able to find somebody, some way to keep pushing forward with what has been a strength for this offense and for a number of years. And then secondly, when you look at Brian Bulaga, he's the leader in that room now. And in my opinion, probably one of the most underrated tackles in the NFL. Now, right tackles are getting a little bit more of their rightful due now. You see the contract that Ricky Wagner got in the offseason, but Brian Bulaga is a top-notch tackle in a guy that I think a lot of teams would love to have on the outside. So for him and Bakhtiari, they got to be the strength now of this offensive line, and I think the feeling is that they can do it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of fans maybe were speculating in the offseason when Lang departed, well, are the Packers going to move Brian Bulaga to guard and have Jason Spriggs, who was drafted in the second round last year as a tackle, take over at tackle? The fact that the Packers are not doing that, I don't think that's anything against Spriggs. I think that has everything to do with the way Brian Bulaga is playing at right tackle. He's really come into his own, and for David Bakhtiari to say The offensive line room is his. He's the veteran. He's going to run the show. He's going to lead the group. I think that says a lot about what those guys think of the former first-round pick out of Iowa.
Yeah, and last year was Bulaga's best year in the NFL, hands down. He was pretty darn good in 2014, too. But but last year, what he was able to do, I mean, really being able to operate almost on an island out there, he wasn't getting much help a lot of the time.
And I would agree.
The way that these pass-rushing setups are, I mean, you're getting 10-sack type talent from both sides now. It's not just coming on the blind side. So I really was impressed with what Bulaga did. And then also with Bakhtiari. I mean, as he said, he did it once. I mean, but anyone can do something once. He was a Pro Bowler once. He was an All-Pro once. But he wants to do it again. And now going into year five, it's incredible how fast time moves in this league. But he feels like he's at a position now where he, too, can really bring his game to another level. And the Packers offense is going to be relying on both of those guys to do just that, especially with some of those question marks, I guess you could say, at guard.
Yeah, do you have any early handicapping thoughts on the right guard thing? Barkley, Patrick, Murphy, potentially a draft pick being thrown into the mix?
I'm pretty confident they're going to end up drafting somebody. Recent history would show you in 11 drafts, they've only not drafted offensive linemen once, and they tend to have across the line versatility with those type of players. I really like Kyle Murphy. The pad level is probably going to be the biggest thing for him. He's a tall guy. Can he really get down and get underneath players? I've always felt like Don Barkley's best position is interior. That was originally where the Packers were going to play him when he came in 2012, but then the injuries happened with Brian Bulaga and elsewhere at tackle, so he had to get pushed outside. And Lucas Patrick is a nice prospect too. Bakhtiari talked about that. I mean, they were high on him from the beginning as well, coming out of Duke. So three good, talented prospects there, but I also think you're probably going to see an offensive line rookie come in and really bring that competition into training camp.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers talked about how it may be a while before that competition sorts itself out, but the key is going to be at some point in training camp in the preseason, you decide on who that guy is and then let that starting five play together and develop that chemistry. But we're a long ways from that. That decision's not going to be made for quite a while. But with that, Wes, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkowitz. Final segment, Wes, and you alluded to it earlier in the show, A.J. Hawk announcing his retirement this week as a Green Bay Packer. You spoke with him on a conference call, and I guess if there's one phrase that comes to mind for me when it comes to A.J. Hawk and his 9 seasons in Green Bay, it's consummate pro.
Absolutely. I mean, from day one, and I thought that was one of the most interesting things he was asked, and it's always followed him since 2006 and him being the 5th overall draft pick. The expectations of being a top 5 pick and the mentality he took to that. I thought he had something really interesting to say when he said, you're never going to fully live up to your expectations. You're never going to fully live up to anybody's expectations. But the thing that matters is really being able to be you and play the way that you play and just be the person that you are. And that's something now that he's a father of two that he's passed on to his kids, and just the workmanlike mentality that if you put everything you have into whatever it is, it doesn't have to be football, that good things are going to happen. You're going to create your own luck. And I think that was really the biggest thing in his career, along with a lot of dependability, being able to play that position in the NFL for 10 years and really never have any major injuries says a lot to him and his approach. But when you look back on A.J. Hawk, I mean, he was a guy that stood in front of the media, answered every question that was ever asked of him, and did it without a hint of frustration or anger. I mean, he always was steady, and that was both on the field and off the field.
Yeah, I would agree. Hardly ever missed a practice, hardly ever missed a game, was really a leader in that way in terms of the duty of being available and accountable to your teammates, to your coaches. One of my favorite A.J. Hawk stories, actually, his rookie season 2006 when he was drafted with the 5th overall pick, as you mentioned, that was also my first year at Packers.com. And that season, the Packers had a December home game against the New York Jets. The New York Jets had a first-round pick that year, Nick Mangold, at center. A.J. Hawk and Nick Mangold were peewee football teammates in Centerville, Ohio, back home. The Centerville Wee Elks was the name of the team. So I talked with AJ and actually got a hold of Mangold on the phone, you know, reminiscing about their days in Pee Wee football as they were about to take the field against each other. They were also teammates at Ohio State, right, to mention as well, but they were about to take the field against each other in the NFL. And just hearing Hawk back in talking about those days, he was a running back on offense, and Mangold was a big offensive lineman, always right, has been. And talking about, you know, taking the handoffs and running behind Mangold's lead blocks, you could just tell right from the beginning that A.J. Hawk loved football, I think, from the day somebody put a football in his hands. He just loved the game.
He did, and he said that too. I mean, that was the biggest thing that he took out on the field every weekend, is this is the game you've loved since you were a kid, and you get to do it at an exceptionally high level and do it well. And for him to win a Super Bowl, to make a Pro Bowl, to lead the Packers, I think, in tackles 5 of his 9 seasons in Green Bay, leaves his spot in Packers history as the all-time leading tackler. Just an incredible career that he had. And then when you hear the stories of him and, you know, Aaron Rodgers and how far they go back and how much Rodgers thinks of him, you know, sitting next to each other in the meeting rooms for 9 years, it's incredible. And I think when you see Ted Thompson, Mike McCarthy, Clay Matthews, Rodgers, all these guys talk about, you know, Hawk with such a passion, it really tells you the way he sort of rubbed off on teammates.
Yeah, and not to mention as well, a guy who easily transitioned from a 4-3 outside linebacker
incredible,
his first couple years in the league to a 3-4 inside backer when the Packers changed defensive schemes in 2009. Really a remarkable career. But with that, Wes, we'll sign off on Packers Unscripted, and we will get to the Packers schedule and the NFL draft in upcoming shows. But for now, be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next time.